Blog Talk Radio.
Because the reliance shall break every chain.
Brother Water, y'all there?
Yeah, you all right, Brother Drew?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just need to take a pause for a minute, so I'm going to turn it over to you guys real quick.
All righty. What I wanted to talk about today is some history that I have never heard any of the top black scholars talk about. This history, other than Malachi Yalp. And this history that was explained that we didn't know a damn thing about, but we do know about it now. At this is 2023, according to the people that's in charge. And that's what we're going to be talking about. If the Bible, we're going to go into a book that came out in 1881. And this 1881 Bible is a history book that tells the history of the second generation that came out of the flood told by the Ashkenazi of Zionist Jews of the history of their people, not our people. This is what they said about themselves before everything got in a revised version, because we started in a chronological order, and we're going to start from, that means that we start from the beginning, so we'll know how the revised version came into existence. What we're going to do is fast forward all the way up into the time of when Abraham was born, 175 years after the flood, he was born. And we're going to, in the 1881 Bible, it tells you to read what is written in the book of Asher. The book of Asher tells you the history of Abraham, but these books was taken out, and you didn't go study to show yourself approved, but we went and read all of these books. We sharing with you what we done walked upon. This Bible tell you about a seer. This is what we are. We're seers. We can see what's written in this book. By the time of 1881, when this Bible came out, which became the book that all the angelic gospel Christian churches of the Western Hemisphere use, well, this story in this book is the story that we want to entertain. All books, religious books, which is called Bibles, tell you about a group of people called Magog, not to go in their ways. It'll tell you at a time that Magog conquered the world. It tells you, every book, it tells you, don't go in the ways of Magog. It's every religious book tell you that. We're going to talk about Abraham, what nobody talks about, had three wives, Sarah, Hagar, and Keturah. Keturah in that language means sweet smelling. That's what the word. So she, sweet smelling, had some children by Abraham. This is the seed that we will be tracing the history of when we go back up and start in a chronological order. Sarah, mother of Yahshual and Yehuda, which was supposed to be in the ways of Abraham. Hagar, the mother of Ishmael and the Ishmaelites, which their religion was Islam. They are Muslims. Keturah's children, all of her children, those tribes of people was Ephah, what we know as Ephah. Now, we come back to the 15th chapter, 12th and 14th verses. So we're getting all the clues out of the Bible of what we can see at this time period of this story of what Magog had did. It says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror to great darkness fell upon him, meaning in other words, he had a nightmare. A nightmare is a dream that's it's a horrible dream. And it said unto Abram, know for sure that a seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. They shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation of people who shall will I judge, and after shall they come out with great substance. This is not a Hebrew Israelite that says that this is them, that this is not them. Because when we go back in history and study the history, we follow this through here, this group of people. This is what I want you to understand, this is what we are looking for. So when we found this, you will find this in 1555. We would start this in 1555 when John Hawkins bought 175 slaves that came out of the Congo who was Mennonites. Now we go to the 25th chapter of Genesis, and you see Abraham took a wife. Her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, Joshua, Midian, which was the fourth child. And the sons of Midian was Ephrah and Epher, E-P-H-E-R. That's the same as Africa. These Midianites, John Hawkins brought 175 of these slaves over here. By 1664, they had been completely breeded out, where they got renamed Negroes that was colored people. They was colored people because they had mixed their seed with everybody that was over here. They had taken these slaves and bred and crossbreed. We had a lot of histories on crossbreeding and how it's done. They had bred this blood completely out of them, where you get what you call 1/10 and all of this, what they call 1/10 and 1/16 of this blood in them. This country, Brother Mahal is going to tell you about who John Hawkins was, and it's very important that you understand this, because you're dealing with England. England is May God. And when they came over here, everybody that came over here that's in charge now, these was Englishmen at first, which was Anglo-Saxons, and the Teuton Germanic race of people, the Danes, the Normans, and all of these people. This is what came over here. And they came as proprietorship, and the colonists was founded by company, private company, and the cooperative colonists. You had to know all of these different colonists that came through. John Hawkins worked for the Queen of England, and Brother Mahal going to take you through who this John Hawkins is. This book tells you about a nation of people that has totally been genocided by Magog. Well, in 2020, we know who this nation of people is. This nation of people call themselves Black African Americans. That's the race of people, the nation of people that this book is talking about. And we go step by step and show you how he renamed you, took you through all of these genocides, you through these stages. In 2023, we can trace this history straight down to the Mac. So I want you to understand that every Black person, we use the word Black, which is an adjective, I don't like that word. The people that came from Amalekia over here, they all was not slaves. They was not slaves. They was tradesmen. And a word that you don't see no more is mercantile. When I was a little boy, you seen that all on all buildings. With mercantile, you don't see that no more. That's a lost word that they don't use no more. But it's very important to know what mercantile is, because nobody looked like us that called himself a Black African American know a damn thing about mercantile, because mercantile deal with economy. and trade. And you don't understand that because Magog has been doing all of your things through the, what they call the federal government. So with that being said, go ahead on, Brother Mahal. You take up.
Greetings to the listening audience. And, there's quite a bit of information on John Hawkins. And they list him as a naval commander. And his time was between 1532 up until 1595. And he's well noted for being a slave trader and a privateer. And of the four ships, one of the ships was named Jesus. So there's your interesting word showing up. And, of course, the queen who he was working for, where they talk about Mary the First in the general history. But let's get down to the part where it says how he actually was getting these people. Part of it you've already covered, Brother Dwyer, where he was getting them from. And then it says an off the west coast, which is known now as Sierra Leone. And then it talks right about how he was selling them to all these other places. He talked about and many of the slaves he got, it said he got them by way of raiding other ships. So that was where he got, and a percentage of them he got allegedly from raiding the west coast of Africa himself. Now, it doesn't say he had many slaves from that route, but quite a few of them he had gotten was from raiding other slave trading ships. And it's just so interesting that we are looking at everyone being from everywhere, like you said, the Congo and all these other places. And there's a program, a YouTube channel that I came across where they were discussing on their national television in the Congo about things such as Abraham, a link to him. And this was probably in about the past three, maybe 4 months that I came across this channel. It's all in French, but they were discussing. So they ended up going abroad, some of these folks, you know, which is the norm, and reading all these books, coming across all this information outside of their own countries and sitting there and reviewing it, seeing who is who and what's what. Now they're finally making their way back, and the term to be used is the diaspora. You know, they'd have been to Europe, they'd have been over here in America, and as such, and they're coming across this information that for one reason or another, due in part to colonization, colonialism, conquering, that this information is not freely talked about amongst the populations over there. So we are actually leading the pack as far as the continent is concerned because of the information that we already have access to, although a small percentage of us is actually, you know, cracking them books, looking up, getting stuff from the archives, Library of Congress, and as such. And we have also, some of us have been taught this by various ways and means of other affiliations and institutions. So we're getting it. And so there was a time that we would mention things like this, and they didn't even have a clue. And the impact is so great now that some of these countries, that some of the childrens of them are over here getting educated and as such, they're running into us. And then we're saying things about the slave trade, enslavement, slave trading as an economy and parts of the continent that were well known to be involved in it. So when we look at when they hear us say this, they're going back to their own countries, Ghana, Nigeria, and places like that, and they're questioning their people in terms of how did they get their money, you know, and how is it that the money that they have, some of these families, has been in the family as long as it has. So now these younger folks going back to their own home countries are now challenging the established norm about, you know, I'm from such and such village and this, that, and the other, and the person who's over this, that, and the other, he's wealthy, and they've had their wealth for, you know, several generations, and now they're questioning it. How did you actually get that money? How did that money get passed down to you? And what level of business were you guys involved in going back to the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s and as such? Now it's making the establishment over there, because, you know, they don't really talk about slavery like that and slave trading and the ships and all that. That's not something they were discussing for a while, but they were heavily involved. Now, it's funny you mentioned about Gog, and you find that in the movie Woman King, there's a tribe whose name they played up. And then I'm going to get into some more about this John Hawkins in a minute. That they called the Agogi. Now, that word is Agogi. Gog. Gog comes in all shades, shapes, and colors. Okay? It's not just some one people who only look a certain way. Their history goes way back. Okay? We're talking about history that was recorded on the stone tablets. This is what we're talking about, because they have variants of that name. So in the Book of Enoch, for instance, you'll have the Igigi. That's a variant of the word. Okay? That we are modernly saying when you're in Genesis, Gog and Magog, okay? So Agogi is just a dialect. You pronounce, it's the same word pronounced slightly different. And what did they show in that movie? That tribe was prominently shown to be involved in raiding areas and selling people whom they enslaved as slaves. They did try to pull a little hero stunt. You know, this one woman stuff. No, stop all that nonsense, okay? All those people were involved in that, and we know their names. Their names were well-publicized. Now, where were they to be sold to? Well, Brother Dwight, you also brought up in Genesis about Abram having this nightmare. They named the name of the people in that same chapter in Genesis. You're probably aware of that. And it's pronounced in the King's English. See, back then they didn't say America, because that's not King's English. They said the Amorites. In Hebrew, the same verse is pronounced Amri, which is where you're supposed to get the word Ameri from, Ameri, or Mary. So you have different variations of it once you get outside the pronunciation of the actual word. So the Book of Enoch is talking about the Igigi. And then some more chapters down, now they're also using the variant of the word of the Magog. So it gives you the impression there is more than one set of the Gog people. They all just one. It was more like a quasi type of oppositional empire, which was in opposition to another empire, which is, if you look in history close enough, you'll see that. So, yes, they have control and sway of this part of this hemisphere, no doubt about it. So in the Book of Genesis, it actually names them. For the iniquity of the Amorites will have reached its fullness then. And keep in mind, listening audience, the word Amorite is King's English for the pronunciation of the word America, which is more Spanish and Latin pronunciation for it. Now, this guy, John Hawkins, all right, just to go over a few things in history. You know, I'm going to spare you where he was born and all that, but there's quite a few things he was involved in because they had slaves going all over the place that they owned, quote-unquote, or captured. So Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico, Brazil, and let me get down to the other where it mentions Spain, and there are some other names here. Let me go back up here to the top. And it said that he was on some ship named the Lovell, and he had sailed to the West African coast. So since 1566, and through piracy, he had captured five ships, three of which were slave ships. And it says he took the cargo of enslaved people and other goods to the Spanish West Indies to be sold. So you see, we see that there is a picture and a pattern here developing of what was going on. And he wasn't the only one. We know he wasn't the only one. The sale of cargo did not go well, and Lovell deposited 92 enslaved people. Mind you, he didn't call them descendants of slaves. He said enslaved people ashore without any payment. And then, so there are some people he just let go, okay? The queen had forbidden Hawkins from going to sea, but she relented and arranged a third slave voyage, departing Plymouth on the 2nd of October, 1567. Arriving at the African coast, he could not secure enslaved people with ease because of the local Portuguese agents. And it said they were unwilling to trade with him. Now, mind you, the Portuguese were already embedded on the African continent by intermarrying. Now, this is not the entire continent. It's just that that level and that type of business, they to solidify their business, I can't remember what the word was. I seen it on another video some time ago. This book was called Daughters of the Trade. So it's – go ahead, bro.
Brother Dwyer? Oh, okay. The expansion of Europe, what we got to know, because we're going in a chronological order, this place over here, the New World, when it first got established, the colonists, the Portuguese colonists was the first one. Then it was the Spanish America Empire. Then the French explorers. Then the Dutch commercial empire, and the Sweden and Denmark, and then English.
Yes.
This is in a chronological order. So you had to understand the Portuguese, which they was the number one country at one time, was worse than they had been a country, was number one in the world for trade and every damn thing. They were the ones that has got here first. You had to understand this, because out of this here came the 13 colonists, which became United States. They tell all of this history in the Bible.
But here's the thing, though. Unbeknownst to many people, the colonists who was establishing, Jew colonists, non-Jew colonists, all these people we're discussing initially were people of color. And it's in the names of the countries that they come from. So the Swedes, that's their version of Germanic language, okay, because it's Germanic, related to what they were speaking in Holland, which is what? Dutch, Deutsche, and in German, in Germany and Bavaria, it's pronounced Deutsch. But the words for describing what shade or hue these people were initially coming over here, establishing these colonies, Swede means dark skin. See, some people don't know that. So there was a war ensuing in parts of what we refer to as Western Europe. So now they're coming out with a history now referring to all of these people of color who was ruling Western Europe as Negropeans now. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but that's the term they're using. And Benjamin Franklin himself, in his own writings and memoirs, which is in the Library of Congress, and you can now read this thing in PDF form, he's complaining while at the same time the person who owned him or he was indentured to is a black German. So how do you say somebody is dark in German? Schwarz. And the English word, King's English word, is swarthy. So they're still talking about people with hue. So who are these other people, such as you dealing with John Hawkins, because quite a few things was going on, as you know, in the 1500s. And then you can't leave out Cromwell. You can't leave him out either, because around these time frames, there were people who were in England who were being kicked out. Some were executed, but they were being kicked out. And some of your Jamaicans today are descended from the original black British. This includes parts of Barbados and some other areas as well. So we have this whole mix of who was enslaved, sold as a slave, versus who was exiled. So now you got these pink people showing up from the northern shores of Africa. And remember, Brother Dawadi, by the time we hit the 1800s, there's a civil war over here. And you have to really look at the connection between the civil war over here and the civil war in Eastern Europe. And today, America is trying to get back at those who are descended of those Slavic people from the East Coast. This is the whole thing with this Russia, Ukraine, Romania, and Poland, and all these other places that are getting ready to, that powder keg is getting ready to blow. They're not discussing what the real, true history is about what happened there. They had a civil war, but at the same time, there's a civil war here. So many of them did not appreciate being sold out of those areas, the Khazaria area, all of that. They didn't, and they still have never forgotten. And they found themselves in the hands of the Turks. And you know the Turks are also involved in heavy slave trading too. You are aware of that. And and they were bringing people over here recently as the 1800s, over to what is now called Long Island, New York, dumping off people over there, their prisoners, and not just only slaves, but their prisoners and as such. So this is also recorded history as well. And the alleged founders of the 13 colonies are all brown people whose hue look like you and ours, except they're not from here.
Right.
And there were so many of them over here with the Dutch, as you mentioned, the Dutch, the Germans, anyone speaking a Germanic tongue. Those who were speaking tongue, their tongue was so prevalent here that they said it almost became the official language of these United States. And that's the part they never elaborated on fully, like how did that almost happen? Go ahead, bro.
Right now, as we speak, in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, was more prevalent than it is now, but it's still in major cities now. You have Germantown, you have Scottish Town, Irish Town, Vietnamese Town. You have all of these different towns. But this was real strong back during the Depression when these mobs was over here, the Swedish mob, the Irish mob, the Dutch mob, the mafia, the cynic, the Italians, the all of this stuff still exists as we speak. I mean,
right.
When you study this history, you see so much that we have missed out on, and that's why we're in this condition. Once you took on that name, I'm a black African American, well, then you lost your right as Negroes that was colored people. That's the reason you lost affirmative action. But you became a complete damn fool. You got 41 million people in America that says that they are black African Americans. 7% of them has got doctor's damn degrees. that say that they, is this something that a white man let you be in 1970? Nixon signed the bill that it was all right for you to be there. And now you teach your children that you black African American, and then you wonder what the fuck is wrong with you. This is what's wrong with you, what we talking about now. You don't know your history. You
right.
live in
and
somebody
history,
else's history.
And the history is we're finding out
that you live in, all your religious books tell you don't fuck with him.
Right.
Don't go in the ways
of the thing. Remember, recall in this broadcast, I had mentioned that Gog came in all shapes, sizes, and colors.
Right.
So
you got
we
Chinese
were having
America.
Problem with black-on-black violence here in some of the very early stages of colonialism with what we call, they call the Negropeans. See, they talk about blacks coming from the African continent, but that's only one-sided because what they're not discussing out as much as they should, but it is happening now because you got white people with letters behind their names too, and they're on YouTube. And they've gotten these books, The Forbidden Slave Cargo, and as such. And this program here, I'm not advocating for either side. I'm simply saying the history is coming out, and for a long time, we know that there's quite a few folks of color over here. When we start getting into their DNA and finding out who their daddies are, it's tracking back to this Germanic people. And the Germanic people weren't only pink people. We knew this because there were wars taking place in Europe to conquer and take. And they say they came down from the north, but they weren't the original inhabitants there. You got the French president, Marcon, said a few years ago, some documentary, he said that the people who are in France today, they're French. Are not the descendants of the original people who were the French. He wasn't talking about the Arabs who moved there. He wasn't speaking about the blacks from the colonized African countries. He wasn't speaking about them. He was talking about those who look like him. So the question to ask is, well, then who are these guys? And he didn't say who they exactly were. But he did mention that those who say that they are French living in France are not the descendants of the original French. So now you have to go back and look at what terminologies are because you got the Huguenots. There's when we talk about the original Franks, they weren't called French. Those are the people with the color from over there, the Franks. And when you look at them, they're broken down. W.E.B. Du Bois, he's a Huguenot. He's not what you would call he has no slave history. He has none of this going on when you start reading, digging into the roots of who this guy is in our history. They get away with by saying calling everything black history. So when you get into that, who are you really talking about?
Brother Mahal, you brought back a hell of a point that we can prove right now. Every nation of people is in America, the Amorites. And every nation of people call himself, I'm a Chinese American, I'm a Vietnamese American, I'm a Buddha Hindu American. He put that adjective on that word and called himself the Amorite, meaning that he believes completely in America. He's totally a American. And people don't understand that you got a black face, but you say you are a American, meaning that you believe in another man's gods, another man's school of thoughts, and all the Bibles tell you don't goddamn go in his ways. This is what makes you ignorant in 2043. The Bible tell you about an ignorant nation of people. Well, that ignorant nation of people is calling themselves a black African American as we speak.
Yeah.
This is the people that the Zionist Jews put this history in this book to let us understand. He told you in this book, you would understand. There would come a day and time that you would understand the mysteries of God and all mysteries, meaning the mystery of religion. You have to study what the mystery of religion. Well, the reason you know every goddamn thing in 24 is called Google. That's what it's called. It's called Google. You can Google any. All you have to do is ask Google, tell me John Hawkins.
Right. And you want to know an interesting thing? Look at the word Google. Google is Gog. The L-E at the end of it means pertaining to.
G-O-G-G-L-E.
Yeah, G-O, yeah, G-O-O-G. All you did was drag the vowel sound out to make it longer. And this phenomenon is throughout this English vernacular. There's all types of variants for it. As a matter of fact, King Og, remember, Abraham was supposed to encounter this guy, which it says in Genesis. So you have right here in the state of Texas, I guess she's still the top DA, district attorney for the city of Houston, okay? Her last name is Og. And it's like, wait a minute, where's this coming from? And then you got King Og, you got Og, King of Bashan. So you have an area here in this country called Basha. They dropped the N. So now it's singular. So you have to look at how words are used. And the word Amri is one of the sons of the Canaanites. So, Brother Dawadia, we have a compact going on here. We have Canaanites working with the people of Gog, working with a host of other people. So now if you go and take a quick looking at Psalms 83, David's listing the names of all of those who are confederate against the Creator first and against his hidden ones. They've taken crafty counsel so that you don't be a people no more. So when they use the word Yisrael, Yisrael is not a country. Never was a country. So Isra represents a path. People who are guided by a path or a path of light or path of righteousness. And the word righteousness, that's a religious word, but the definition for that word means those who think correctly. So we've been sold, I'm going to use Coe's word, a bag of wolf cookies. And when you open that bag, there's nothing in it because there's no such thing as a wolf cookie. And this is what we're walking around with. So there are those of them who know what's going on. And some of these people are hiding behind other people. So we can cry racism all we want. The question is, who's in support of the people that we say are being racist? Who's supporting them? And if you look at that picture of the video of the Pope, a short video that I posted up on the group page of the Pope, you got some folks from another group of melanated folks where the Pope is getting down on his knees, kissing those shoes.
Right.
That image is not going to go anywhere in my mind because the fact that I've seen that. And they had one woman in there. And it said, those who you see that Pope is down there on his knees with the help of his assistant from the Vatican so he can get down there on them knees and kiss those shoes of every last one of them. One guy, they showed you him pushing the Pope down, pushing him down there to kiss them feet. And that was some serious business. That's some serious symbolism being displayed. And here it is. That was uploaded, and it was not CGI or someone did some funny business with the video. No, that's him down there kissing them shoes. We know not in America, many of us know not, who it is at often the time who we're really speaking about. Who is controlling everything? And what is this term called the Black Pope? Where'd that come from? Because you remember, they were supporting the whole thing. They were in complete support of the slavery, the slave trade, enslavement of people. We can't get away from that. And they got their Arab buddies. They got them, too. And, you know, they are referred to in Psalms 83. Everyone is accounted for. It's just that they gave us imagery to confuse who it was we're looking at. Oh, this person is brown like me. You come on over here because we the same. Yeah, they want you to think that. Sure they do. Meanwhile, you have no clue. You don't have a clue, but they do. So this guy, yeah. John Hopkins, although they're talking about him and they've given this guy, you know, historically speaking, all of the accolades for this and he did this and he commandeered ships. Yeah, but what about the rest of them? Because he is not the first one. As you were pointing out earlier in this broadcast, he's not the first guy. You have colonies that was established here, and America is called the place where all the nations are gathered. Now, isn't that something interesting that you see in the New Testament? So even in the American Indian powwow, one of the major powwows that's held in Albuquerque, New Mexico, every year is called Gathering of the Nations Powwow. And then when you read books completely outside of that, then you see where they say 501 Indian nations. So they're calling everybody Indians. See, that's the, we call that, the guy says in one of his videos, he said, dodge the hijack. So they throw a term out there, use it in a broad fashion to hide all the rest of the people who really weren't from here. But you can cover it up by saying, yeah, 501 Indian nations. That's not even correct.
And we got
a mess here in history, you know. And I'm looking at all this stuff right here that they talk about John Hopkins. Yeah, yeah, John Hopkins and all this. Yeah, they're giving the guy praise. Damn, they're giving pin medals on this guy. However, he's not the only one. If you're going to talk about millions of people who are allegedly being transported and this guy's only accounted for four ships, you know ain't no way in the world that this guy is credited for perfecting the system of transporting slaves and ships. There's just no way because there's far too many other people. And, yes, it was a worldwide business.
Right.
And he did not invent none of it. It existed before he was born.
And it was a worldwide business for England, who owned damn near, one time England owned everything, because whatever they would go explore in the name of the Pope, it belongs to them.
Right. And you can't leave this out. Why was slavery so to such an extent, as great as it was here in this hemisphere? Well, you remember where the Vatican, the church, lost its referendum, meaning that the people in that part of the world over there no longer believed in them. Because, you know, you had protesters springing up all over the place, Luther, all these guys. They were all springing Protestant. All these people were springing up all over the place. So I like what one brother said some years ago in a video that he did on that subject matter alone. He said, so when they lost their footing and face and the eyes of the people over there, they tore down shop, so to speak, and they came here with it in the 1500s. So around the 1530s, they're over here kicking live. With all of the things that they were doing, with the enslavement, it's allowed. You own a person forever in a day. They'll never be free. And that was one of the mandates that they did. And you know, in Washington, D.C., in addition to Capitol Hill, you know, right across from it, not too far from there, is the what they call the embassy that represents the Catholic Church. They call it an embassy. That building is a very old building. They didn't do this in the 1960s. This has been that way. And quite a few of the academic institutions here, if they're not outright Protestant, a great many of them, and majority of them, were established by the Jesuit order. I got my Army commission from Fordham University. And Fordham University, when you look them up, they were allegedly established in the 1840s up in Bronx, New York. But it tells you that they're Jesuit. I got a book on myself that goes into all this history about them and a few other temples and establishments, non-Catholic, that was also established around the same time as well, too. And I'm coming from New York City and didn't even know most of this history. Found out later.
Yeah,
so
we have
bigger fish to fry, no doubt about that.
And see, it's so funny, they put the story in all of these religious books that people look like us, so they read and comprehend them, and they're not understanding what this story
right.
is about, what these books
now look
is
at
about.
In this history with John Hawkins, so, right, it mentions
see,
in this history as well his brother. Now look at this. It says they pronounce this guy's name Barber, but it's not a guy. That's a race of people that you know. They are in North Africa, the Berbers.
Yeah. Berbers.
And you have quite a few people who live here in the U.S. with this name from Alabama, all over the place. And they have different variations of how that name is spelled using the English alphabet. But these are the same people here. And it says Hawkins killed a man, a barber, they say barber, that's how they're pronouncing it, from Plymouth, called White. Yeah, and those folks were called that. And believe it or not, these folks, who are these pale ones from North Africa, they are the Afrique. They're the Africans. That whole entire continent wasn't called that, but they were definitely in position slave trading. Someone says a good full 1,000 years before these Caucasoids themselves actually got involved in it.
Right. See, the history
and they
of
did all
shit.
Kinds of things to the people whom they had in those slave caravans.
The history of the history of the Silk Worm Road, and they making a lot of movies of that history of the Ottomans, the people that was called the Ottomans, which was the Muslims, Ismailites people, and the Vikings, the Danes, the Franks, the Normans, and the Picts, they got all this history in the Last Kingdom. They got all this Britain. They got all these movies on Netflix. And,
here's
and
a trick
right
about
now.
The Ottomans. The Ottomans are Turks, right? That's a kind of a semi-newer name. You remember one of our programs you talked about. A lot of people really don't use their original old names. So the Turks are not even Arabs. The Turks are Germanic.
Right.
They're Germanic people. They got nothing to do with Ishmael.
They took up Islam. The Turks
right.
did.
And so they came from the Byzantine Empire.
Right.
Okay,
now
they're
minute.
Practicing
just,
a different religious
just,
school of thought.
See, if you do not understand the Byzantine Empire's history, you would never understand Christianity, because you would never understand Constantinople and Constantine.
Nope, and that's what the Turks are out of.
Which
Constantinople. Yes.
Yeah,
and so in
Turkey
Arabic,
now.
They're known as the Aturk. In the Hadith writings of the Islamic religion, it mentions that the Aturk people in these days, as we're seeing, that they will be one of the major primary group of people spreading mischief and mayhem all over the planet. And here's the thing. Don't folks call themselves Saudis, the pale-skinned ones? They're Turks.
Yeah, and they got the history.
And think of the names that they gave us in Islamic writing. Those guys, they have original names that was copied from the Byzantine libraries and they say they spent 200 years doing this. Those guys, the names that they were copying were Greek and Roman names, okay? So Greek and Latin names, and they put it into this newly formed Islamic religion and gave these guys Arabic-sounding names. So quite a few folks that they've copied are either from history with now Arabic Islamic names or, and Romans who had lived well before this time of when they started doing this, copying this stuff and plagiarizing histories and writings and philosophy and all this. They gave these guys Islamic names, and today some of them you may know the names from what they say from 1,400 years ago. These guys are now your founders of the Islamic religion. The sheikhs and the mullahs and all of them. And many of these guys today are descended from them.
They got on Netflix, they got a movie. It's 101 series. I looked at every last one. I've been seeing it twice. It's called Etrim, the history of Etrim, and then the Silk Road and the Turks and how they became Islamic and all of this stuff. Byzantine of all the, how they fought against the Catholic Church and stuff. It's a very, very interesting history. That's a hell of a movie that thing is, man, because you can see how wicked that Roman Catholic Church was that
well,
started Christianity.
Because they got a book out there, Brother Dawadia, that says it's like an encyclopedia handbook, and it says it deals with the first 600 years of the establishment of the Catholic Church, and it has 800 names in it. And some
right.
of these guys have the name of Pope Lucifer.
Right.
Luciferus. Right. Names like that.
Right.
There's quite a few names of guys. When I first was looking at that book, I didn't expect to really run into anything like that. But when I did, I took special notice of it. I'm like, wait a minute, this guy was Farius? And another guy is just outright called Lucifer.
Yeah, and see, that means the enlightened one, too. I mean, they're saying that this person is the enlightened one. And see, all of this chronicle of Neutral, it tells all about this Pope here and in hoc signum wicke, with this cross we will conquer.
But look at this. Well, what's this Pope's here? What's his name? What's this Pope's name from Argentina? Francis? And look at his name, his last name. It's three words put together. Bergoglio.
Yeah.
You see that? Ber means to be put forth, or he's the son of something. Gog is self-explanatory. They do not remain in one place. They go forth and conquer, and they burn down whatever it is
right.
that's before them. And Leo
right.
could represent a lion, the animal, the lion, or pertaining to, because it's got that Latin ending on it, that I-O business going on. So that's his last name, Bergoglio. And the symbol on that flag from Argentina shows you the Mithraic system, which is what? Worship of the sun. Because on that Argentina flag is the sun that's got all the rays around it.
So, Brother Mahal,
yeah.
I see that time is getting close to that time, but we definitely know in 2023 the person that renamed themselves Black African American 53 years ago, you, this people that this book was talking about, this
yep.
people that Magog had made to become an ignorant nation of people that you even think. If I ask you who you are, you tell me you're a black Gentile, if you're a Christian. You gave it. He didn't give you his God until 1870. All you have to do is trace the history. You couldn't be no damn Christian until 1870 and worship Jesus as your God.
Right.
So we know for a fact who this damn fool is, and it's 41 million. 7% of you got doctor's degrees in his school of thoughts. That's the reason you say that you're him. And an author that's using American.
And they can't scrub that, calling that name, who they worshiping. They can't get it out. It's like they can't get it out of it, out of their DNA.
Yes.
And so, we have to leave them alone.
Yeah, Abinya, Ika, Kamaria. Kamaria.